I want you to hear a little bit of a story of some things that are happening in our own context. Those of you who were at our special general meeting a few weeks ago heard this story, but it's worth telling again. And I was looking for some pictures of men, because this is a story about some men. And so I was Googling pictures of men, and this is one of the things that came up. How many read those books when you were a kid? All right, those were some of my favorites when I was in elementary school. And so I'm like, oh, I need to use that. So I want to introduce to you Mr. Cool, Mr. Skinny, and Mr. Good this morning. Would you welcome these guys here? Phil, you want to grab a mic there? Their real names are Sheldon, Phil, and Rem. And you can see that a couple of them have been involved in the 4M movement. I'm sure one is made to feel guilty that he has not yet. So he signed up. Okay, good. Phil, you get to be part of the inner, or Sheldon, you get to be part of the inner circle. So Sheldon, I'm going to jump right in. For a while, you and your wife had a specific prayer that you had been making of God, and you've just come into the Cochrane Alliance kind of orbit here the past year or so. Can you tell us that thing you were asking for God, or from God, and how he began to answer it?
Yeah, so about a year ago, I was in a pretty dark place. I was battling with depression and just feeling lonely and kind of starting to feel really hopeless. Felt pretty alone in life. I didn't really have any close friends at all. So I remember just one day I came home and I just earnestly prayed, God, just bring somebody into my life. Just bring a guy into my life. Bring some community into my life.
Okay, so what happened? How did God start answering that prayer?
So shortly after that prayer, I remember just Googling men's groups in Cochrane. Cochrane Alliance came up that they had a discipleship group on Tuesday nights. So it just happened to be a Tuesday that I checked that and ended up going that night. I was pretty quickly just blown away by the openness and honesty around the table at that men's group. Guys were sharing stuff that I just really surprised at. And ended up after that night, Sheldon invited me out to go for wings right after the men's group, and I think that was the first time I'd been invited out in quite a long time. We had a ton of fun. A lot of the guys who were out there for wings there have become really close over this last year.
Okay, and then eventually you met that guy on your left, and he invited you out for some skiing. So how did you feel about the invitation to go skiing?
Yeah, so through some random circumstances, Rem invited me out skiing. I'd been using food a lot to kind of battle what was going on in my head, and I was about 350 pounds. So when I heard the invitation to go skiing, initially I thought Rem was a little bit crazy for inviting me, but I had agreed to go. By the time I got to the bottom of the first run, I think I was out of breath and gasping for air, and this was downhill skiing, so. I had also heard about this Fourth Musketeer movement and had always wanted to go, but just figured there was a huge physical limitation. So Rem and I were heading up on the chairlift, and telling Rem there's any kind of limitation to going on 4M is a really bad idea. He just started to share with me just his story, that he used to be a bigger guy and that he had gotten to shape, just changed his diet, changed his workout routine, and just some slow steps, small changes really helped kind of get him to where he is now. And that really, really, really hit me hard. And it really helped me kind of launch me on a new journey.
Okay. So Rem, it's a little intimidating to think about talking to another guy about like something as intimate as one's weight. That's just not things we talk about. So can you tell it from your side about the place that you would have an honest conversation with a guy that you didn't know super well and go that route? And what's this journey been like for you?
For me, all I did was I told him the story about when my son Logan asked when the next baby was coming, because my belly looked like mommy's did when Aaron was in it. And this, like a couple, like you said, just a couple of changes is all it took, right? But the thing is, I feel like I've gotten a bit too much credit on this, because like Phil just took that spark and lit right up, because after that, it was all him bugging me to go work out, go run, go bike, that kind of stuff. And really what I did is I just went along because I didn't want to let him down. But this whole thing, it really hit me. It's like when you do this kind of stuff, you get more than you give. Because, like, in the physical sense, I was feeling lazy and sitting on the couch, didn't want to work out until Phil called me, and of course, I go work out, right? So he's the one bugging me. But the real kicker there was about a month or so ago, Phil and I went for a pretty nutty workout. And running all over the place, about two-thirds of the way through, Phil goes, hey, let's run to the fence, or let's sprint to the fence. And I'm like, okay. And I gave it everything I had, and he killed me. Like I was in his dust the whole way. And you have no idea how good it feels to lose a race like that to a guy who was 350 pounds like 6 months ago. That's the physical part. But also, if you stop and think about like the emotional and the spiritual journey that's come alongside with that, like just to be invited to be part of it is really humbling, and I'm grateful for that.
So, Phil, you never filled in the full story. You set a goal in spring that you would be at a certain place. What was your goal, and what did you achieve?
Yeah, so my goal was to lose 100 pounds, and yeah, currently I'm sitting at about 107 pounds lost, which is bad.
So, Sheldon, I know that you're part of this this group, and so, Phil, you have to tell the story about ordering wings, and then Sheldon, I want to ask, after he tells that, what's it been like as part of a group, and what are you anticipating that God is going to do among you yet?
So, yeah, also a big part of this journey has been Sheldon. Sheldon's one of the leaders in our Tuesday Night Men's group, and kind of early on in this whole fitness journey, I started sharing about just wanting to eat healthier. Sheldon's turned out to be a bit of an expert in this area, so he really helped me kind of get on track with calorie counting and that kind of thing. So one night after men's group, we went for wings like we normally do, and I ordered a plate of wings, two plates of wings, two plates of wings. Yeah, so Sheldon, knowing the journey and what I was trying to do, he actually went back to the waitress and sent back my wings and got me a plate of vegetables. Just to show how close we've gotten over this.
So, Sheldon, again, what's it been like for you to be part of Phil's story and this men's group, and what are you anticipating in the future?
It's been exciting. It's been incredibly valuable to see that there's really, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, there's really no burden or anything that's in our way that can stop us. When we have a team, when we have some people to come alongside us, and there's so many stories from this men's group that's been going for just over a year now. We share so much with each other. We get so real. We take the mask off. We talk about what's going on, like while it's going on, not just after, and that's why we're able to. There's lots of times we've texted each other or called each other, hey man, I'm, you know, struggling with whatever, or, you know, could you call me? Like, we'll just call each other out on anything. And what I mentioned to the last group is, like, in our men's group, if someone says this sort of generic, well, you know, I'm going through a tough time or I'm struggling with something, we don't let them get away with that. We don't let them stop. I'll kind of force it out of them, essentially, and be like, hey, you know, like, we can help each other better if we're more real, if we're more open. Don't worry. Like, ironically, when you don't worry about how you look in front of other people, you end up closer than you ever were before. And even honestly, after the first service, a decent amount of people came up and said that that's something that they really want as well. So I would encourage everyone here, you know, we're Christians. We're here to help each other. Be real. Find two or three people and let it all out. And it's unbelievable the progress that, like, every guy in that group has made in the last year. It's been very special.
Cool. Why don't we thank these guys for sharing this morning? All right, one last story. Let me tell you a little snippet of a result of something that we did about a year ago. So November, December last year, as a congregation, we participated in a worship survey. And the point of that was to evaluate what happens, everything from preaching, music, prayer, communion, all the elements that go into a typical Sunday service. And we were asking you to describe how that is for you, how it helps you engage the Lord, and also to describe for us what you would hope in the future that would be true of our services. We had really good representation, about 100 out of, 500 to 600 people that are here. So we had a decent representation of responses of people. And I want to just show you one little element of what we said together as a family. This is a word cloud that represents the major words that came out in response to the question of what do you hope for in the future? What do you hope would be true of church services when we gather together each weekend? And these are the things you said. A word had to show up at least 4 times to make it on this list. And the bigger the word is, the more times it was said. You said things, we would desire that we would be engaged more. There'd be a more of a sense of the Holy Spirit. There would be energy and vibrancy and excitement and freedom to what takes place when we get together each weekend. And so as a small committee of us process those results, one of the, I'd say the major conclusion we came to is this, is that as a family, we have a spiritual hunger for something more, something deeper as a church when it comes to our worship. And there is a strong desire among us for freedom, for engagement, for participation when we come together, and to connect more deeply and really with the Holy Spirit when we're here. And so we made a number of recommendations as a committee in spring, and one of those being to address the spiritual hunger that is really within this church family and lean into our longings for more of the Holy Spirit. And that we would already begin this past spring developing a culture of expectation and freedom, that we would pray more diligently for that. We'd try some experiments, which our worship nights have been. And I just think that Julie Pearson has been doing a fantastic job of giving leadership to that. We also have been asking since spring who would give us leadership to that in the long term. After a long search process, really long, Larendel, we believe that God has led us to someone who we think is going to lead us continually in that direction for the next few years. And so it's my privilege just to invite again to the platform Randall and Becky Heyer, so we can just hear a little bit about who they are and what they're about. How many of you have been in the Cochrane Alliance community for 15 years or more? Long-termers, how many are out there? Okay. So how many of you then recognize Randall's wife? All right. You may have known her as Becky Olive. And I had the pleasure of having Becky in my youth group when she was a junior higher, and she spent lots of time in our home. And she reminded me of stories where I was absolutely heartless with the junior high girls of that time. There's a specific story where there was someone stabbed with pencil lead that remained in their body, and I refused to let the healing occur. So Becky still holds that against me. Becky, maybe if you could just kind of kick us off and tell us a bit about your family, your kids, and a little bit of where you've been for the past 10 years. And you can use that microphone right there.
I'm not the one that's usually up here. He is. So first of all, good morning, and thanks for having us here this morning. It's exciting to be here. It's a little surreal to be back and coming and joining this community and family, but I would say that more than anything, Randall and I are really excited. And we have been married for 9 years. Randall and I met in Lakeside, Montana, where I was serving, and then he came and joined staff with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And we, after dating for a season, we got married, spent 2 years out there, and then due to visas, had to come back. And during that season of being back, we felt like the Lord calling us back to Calgary. And we joined a church planting team and have walked through some various seasons in the last 7 years living in Calgary, and Randall talk about it a little bit more. So one of the highlights of our time in Calgary has been the two little nuggets on the screen. And Olivia, the one who's showing you her beautiful tongue, always showing her beautiful tongue, is almost four. And she is, first service, was dancing everywhere during worship. And that is our home. That is what we do. Gwen is 17 months old. And she is our new feisty one in our home, or in anyone else's home. So, we love our girls and our family. Parenting is a fun, new, crazy journey. So we're here, we're excited and honored to be back in a place that's very familiar to me, but yet there is plenty of faces that I don't know. So we're honored, we're excited, and we just are anticipating a newness that God wants to do both in us, obviously a new season coming to Cochrane and a new position and all those things, but also just a newness for what God wants to do in this body of believers. So we're really excited for that.
And I don't know if you knew this, Becky, but one of the stipulations to working on my staff is that you're only allowed girls. So we had to make a special exception with Donna, but other than that, all staff members have only daughters.
Perfect. So my whole family can come.
You'll fit right in.
Yes, thank you.
Randall, why don't you tell us just a little bit more about your experience and where you've been specifically over the past couple of years. I know Becky gave us a little snippet of that, but just tell us how God has been preparing you and shaping you for this time and this place.
Well, I was looking at my notes in between services, and I realized I forgot to say like half the stuff I was going to say. But anyways, I won't take too much of your time. We, like Becky said, we met in Lakeside, Montana. We were both working with the Discipleship Training School, and then I did some more training there, and then we came up to Calgary to plant a church, and it was a great season of learning, and we were young and inexperienced and made many mistakes, and by the grace of God, the church is still going forward, so thank you, Lord, for that. And then after we decided that the Lord is moving us on from that church plant, I went back into YWAM, or we went back into YWAM, and I had the privilege of teaching in the School of Biblical Studies in Turner Valley. If you didn't know there was a YWAM base in Turner Valley, go check it out. It is a gem hidden in the rough, I guess.
Diamond in the rough.
So after I was on staff there for 2 years, we moved... job-wise, we moved back to Calgary, and I joined a church. And very early on there, there was a lot of transition taking place, and job changes, and campuses going off on their own as new churches, and we just felt like through all of it that we would probably be better off not moving forward with that church. And so since May, we have just kind of been taking a rest from ministry and taking just time to seek the Lord for what he has next for us. Is it going to be ministry? Is it going to be swinging a hammer? And lo and behold, it's more ministry. So we're really, really excited for that.
So last question, Randall, or maybe two.
Okay.
As this position is called Pastor of Worship Arts, we really are giving you stewardship of our worship environment as a church family. And so my questions are, why does that matter to you? Like, there's lots of things you could do with your life. Why does worship matter?
Yeah.
And what would you long for us? What would you long for what to be true about us as a worshiping community? Where would you like to lead us?
Yeah. So I think I answered this a little differently in the first service. I'm gonna go in a different direction here. Very early on in my life, music and worship was a huge, huge part of just my growing up years. We were singing the Gaithers and the Cathedrals.
You just made 15 friends.
I know.
Or 30 or more.
My grandparents taught me how to sing harmonies, and should I not have admitted that? Oh, boy. Yeah, so that was my growing up years. And when I was around 15 years old, I was grade 6. I went to my friend's house, and him and his dad sang a worship song together in his bedroom. And I was there, and they played it for me, and the presence of the Lord filled the room. And I knew that that was something that I needed to be doing for the rest of my life, was singing worship to the Lord. And so that was a very impactful time in my life. And then I started leading worship all throughout junior high and high school and into my early 20s. And it's always just been a huge part of what God's called me to do. And so I'm excited to go on another journey here, just worshiping our Lord together. The second part of your question was,
what would you hope to be true for us as a worshiping community?
Yes. So I'll begin by sharing a quick story. When we were in Lakeside, Montana with Youth with a Mission, we had a speaker named Don Gilman come through. And he was from Taiwan, and he would speak a whole entire week on missions. And he was incredibly passionate about missions. And when you would listen to him speak about the stories that he had and the experiences that he had all over the world, the first thing that you would want to do is jump on a plane and get out of Lakeside, Montana, and go change the world for Jesus and share the gospel and be a world changer. And just an incredible, impactful speaker in my life. The thing with Don, though, was what he loved more than missions, flying around the world, sharing the gospel, was he had a desire and a passionate heart for Jesus Christ. And it didn't matter where you were, you would get into a conversation with him where he would talk about Jesus and he would start to tear up. And I've told that story often, and the reason why I tell it is because I want that to be a reality in my life, that when I think on the goodness of Jesus Christ, that I would be so moved that, you know, I'd cry or just be moved by who Jesus is, and it would express itself in worship. And so that would be the first reason why I tell that story. And the second reason is because I would desire that we as a community would be able to fall more in love with Jesus. And that that with the psalmist, I think David said this in Psalm 84:10. He said that a thousand days elsewhere, one day in the presence of God in his courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. And that would be our heart as a community, and that we would run after Jesus unashamedly, that we would go after the presence of the Lord in worship, that I think the biggest word on there was spirit, that we would dive into the things of the spirit, that we would go places where we've never gone before. And even when we sing hymns, my father-in-law was like, "You're singing all hymns this week, right?" I was like, "Yes, absolutely, just for you." No, hymns are powerful. I love hymns, so we will be singing hymns. But just that we would dive into the things of the Spirit as a community, and that Cochrane Alliance would be known as a church of the Holy Spirit, that we would be known as, Paul would call them, people of the Spirit. And so, that's just my hope, that we can run together and go on a cool journey. I'm really excited. So,
awesome. I'm wondering if we could pray for these people. I want to, if Julie, you can come back up, we can pray for you as well. And would you stand with me as we pray for God to work among us? Randall, you don't get any hand because I have to hold a mic. And I'd rather put my hand on Julie's shoulder. Let's pray. Father, first of all, I want to thank you for these three people that stand beside me, each of whom you've known personally since they were quite young. And you've given them gifts, experiences, training, passions, which have been intended for your glory and also to be put to use for the church and for your people. And so I want to pray for Julie, that you would continue to put to work the gifts and abilities you've given for her. Thank you for the blessing that she has been to Cochrane Alliance, not just these past few months, but in years past as well. And I pray that she would run free with your wind at her back, and that you would give her the desires of your heart. We also thank you for Randall and Becky, for leading them here to us for this next season. I ask a fresh filling of the Spirit on them as they give leadership, as they make a transition. I pray also that you would bring them many good friendships and relationships on their own journey with you. And I pray for us as one group of your people in the world, one church in Cochrane. We ask, Jesus, that you would mark us, that we wouldn't be just known as people who live by a certain set of rules or have a certain set of habits coming to a place on Sundays, but that we'd be marked by your character, by your love, and that as people get to know us, are part of our gatherings on Sunday, that they would recognize that we know the living God. Bring us together for that purpose and for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.